Hey, Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to me by my fantastic friend, Richard Lamb.
That's me.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm sorry that my dog is panting super hard at our feet, but she insists on being included on the podcast.
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't bother me. This is, for those of you who are listening to this in the edited version we put on the internet, we had to try three times at that opening.
Yeah, she was very insistent on coming in here and lying at our feet and panting super loud. She's a bulldog also, so she has like all kinds of strange genetic conditions that cause her to pant and have a lot of chest phlegm all the time.
That's right. And also, for those of you that are listening to the unedited version straight off of Richard's computer, how did you find us,
Ceases?
How did you find us?
Listen, you motherfuckers. I'm going all the way to the end, you hear me? I'm going to crack this case wide open. I don't care if Chief Kraplotsky's already taken me off the case. I'm on to you.
Kraplotsky. That's like just not Krumpke.
Yeah. It was like one degree of separation.
Yeah, two villages over from each other.
Their ancestors came over on the same ferry from Poland or whatever. Okay, Jamie, what is it you want to know about this week?
Well, Richard, way down south, there's a big White House.
Go on.
And in that house lives a man named Donald Trump.
Yes.
And I want to know who the fuck else lives in that house. it's like,
what's going on?
I feel like it's completely different. My, news has like stopped. I feel like I don't know who's in, who's out.
We've done conspicuously little, I feel, actual talking about Donald Trump. We always, we get the occasional dig in, he comes up, but our second episode was about Donald Trump's first 10 days. What was at the time seemed like stunning number of things that happened in the first 10 days and sort of the cast of characters who were around and who we could expect to be following for the next several years is what we thought. It's turned out to be kind of like Game of fucking Thrones down there, and people are dropping like flies. So we thought, what a good idea to like just take a Trump administration roll call.
Yeah.
Just be like, who's left standing right now?
What's
did they do?
Deal?
What? Give us the funny stories, and let's just take a little trip down memory lane and remember how fucking insane this goddamn administration has been, and how many people have been fired or quit from it already.
I'm anxious. Dolores is anxious. Let's say we hop in this little wormhole and we pop over to Intelligence Town. Whoa. Square root of 4 is 2.
Oh, I knew that already. And hello to you also.
Yes.
Because that's the traditional greeting here in Intelligence Town.
Hello to you also. Is the traditional greeting in Intelligence Town?
No, it's the square root of 2 is 4.
Oh, square root of 4 is 2. 2. Yes.
It's wearing off.
Yeah, ooh, thank God.
The heady rush of entering Intelligence Town customs is giving way to a astonishing hangover of idiocy. Okay, so Jamie, what do you know about who remains in the Trump administration and who doesn't?
I'm pretty sure Donald Trump's still up there.
Yes, it's fairly safe to say.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Then there's also Magneto.
Yeah.
There's Predator.
Yeah. Oh man, that is a fucking superhero anthology movie I would watch.
Yeah,
like Predator versus X-Men.
Yeah.
That would be extremely cool.
I thought you were going to say like a White House full of classic villains. And like the bad guy AI from Blade Runner is there.
It's like President Alien.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Mr. President, we need to decide what to do about the softwood lumber tariff. Yeah. And then it's like the fucking Terminator is the Secretary of Education. He's like, we're going to revisit campus rape protocols. He's kind of Jamaican there.
Yeah.
I should keep doing this. This is going to bear more fruit, I can tell.
Oh, yeah. The branches at the top of the tree are high up, though. You got to keep
Speaking of bearing fruit, this is a total tangent already. I learned today that the summer has been so hot that there's all these like banana trees in BC that were placed decoratively, and the summer has been so hot for so long in BC that they've started to bear fruit.
Wow.
You bananas know what that are is? Growing in Canada.
You know what that is?
Bananas. Delicious. It's, wow. Oh, I see what you did there. You used the word bananas in the other sense.
In the other way.
But we're talking about bananas, the actual fruit.
That's right.
So you kind of did a...
Yeah. But... you know, give credit where credit is due. You were also right. It was also delicious.
That's what the French call a play on words. Okay, so, yes, the Donald Trump administration. What a time it's been. Now, I won't... There's been a couple, like, minor people who have left. Like, the attorney general was fired after, like, 10 days because she was an Obama appointee. Stuff like that is a little more... predictable, and we won't bog ourselves down too much with stuff like that. What we want to talk about are the people who were like on the team, the people
stabbed
who had
the
jerseys, then were fired out of the fucking catapult into the sun to burn in horrible agony as they transcended across the sky like a glorious shooting star on our phones, and we all got to make fun of them for a couple of days. And now, again, on this podcast. Okay, so Jamie, cast your mind backwards all the way to... February of this year.
I'm there.
And let's talk about...
Brr, it's cold.
Yeah. No. Wow. Oh, my God. You're such a method actor. I can almost see February 2017.
I only respond to three notes as an actor.
Act colder?
Act colder. More eyebrow, less eyebrow.
Just do it louder.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to remember, to remind you first of Mr. Michael Flynn.
Yes.
Now, Michael Flynn was the national security advisor to the president, and he was forced out of his job after only 23 days. Yeah. He was the kind of first major casualty of the administration. And he was this guy who, under Obama, was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. So he was like the highest military guy in charge of military intelligence at the Pentagon. But he got fired from that. Basically... it sounds like for being a huge dickhead. Like, he's kind of like a weird moron idiot. Even though he's like a high-ranking military official, like, he seems like one of those dudes who's like, my problem is that I just tell the truth and people don't like to hear it, which means you're a fucking asshole, right?
Yeah.
So, he was forced to apologize while he was at the Pentagon, for giving a briefing saying that women needed to wear makeup to appear attractive and also dress properly for their body shape.
He gave a briefing that said
like
that?
A briefing at the Pentagon to his staff saying that. So that's the kind of guy. He was the national security advisor, but he got fired basically because he met with the Russian ambassador before Donald Trump took office and talked with them about lifting Obama's sanctions on Russia, but then didn't disclose that information to Congress when he was vetted before he was appointed. And he also lied to Mike Pence about it. Mike Pence apparently had asked him if they had talked about anything. He said no. So Mike Pence then lied when he was asked about it. He told an untruth because he had been lied to. Right. And basically, it was clearly becoming a huge liability and opening them up to possible dangerous prosecution already. Because as we talked about on our impeachment episode... often presidents get impeached not because of the actual crimes they committed or things they did wrong, which are often not actually serious enough to warrant impeachment, like getting a weird blowjob where you don't ejaculate, Bill Clinton. It's not cause for impeachment on basically any criteria. But then when you lie about what you did, that's when they get you. And that can be spun as cause for impeachment. So they had already had to just do a lot of lying 23 days into this administration. They thought he was too much trouble. Boom, they cut him loose.
Wow.
Michael
First
Flynn,
one dead.
We hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
Let's all pour one out for fucking Michael Flynn, you guys.
Yeah. Like one tally on the side of the 1930s fighter jet.
Yeah. Okay, so numero dos here was our boy Sean Spicer.
Oh, poor Spicy.
I mean, what a guy. You know, like what a character that we all just lived with.
Yeah. He was like a condom full of that white glue. Just like both physically and figuratively.
Sean Spicer is like the worst dude who writes into the letters section of the Sun newspaper, like, and we just had to hear from him literally every single day. I mean, like, it's so funny because now he's been fired for like 2 months or so. But like, I just remember, I felt like I was being haunted by Sean Spicer. Like I was being personally wronged by him on a daily basis. For those who were living under some sort of rock, Sean Spicer was the White House press secretary, which means it was his job to be like the first guy the press talked to about stuff going on in the White House.
Right.
It was his job to be in communication with everyone, all the departments in the White House, to get information about what needed to be announced and talked about, what was going to get asked by the press, and to be prepared with like rock solid answers to those questions that were on message for the administration. And this was like the funniest and most impossible job in the whole fucking world for him, because most of the times the press would be asking him about crazy shit Donald Trump had said or done. And then Sean Spicer would have to deny it only by saying like the dumbest, weirdest things, like to try to justify this. And then often like 25 minutes later, Donald Trump would tweet and contradict everything Sean Spicer had just said. So like, I honestly thought it was more likely that he was going to blow his brains out on live TV in front of everybody than that he was going to ever actually resign or get fired. But I was wrong on that. And I mean, you know, sure.
Right.
Let the man live.
Here's a question I've always had about Sean Spicer. And like, yes. Now I feel like because he's gone, he's going to be a lot less relevant in the future, and I may never get to ask this. Yep. Was he like truly bad at his job, or was he just given like the lion's quest to like go and make sense of what the flapping,
yeah,
you know, monstrosity above him was spewing out.
He was just given a case that was too hard for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it couldn't be done. He's a professional communications guy.
Right.
Like that's been his path. He was like the communications director for the Republican National Convention for
right.
a while, and he did like a private communications company, and then he worked for, you know, like other politicians. So this has been his bag. Clearly the guy did not get the job by accident. But I think it's more likely that what was happening was, it was impossible because Trump has one third of a normal human brain and is losing that one third rapidly like a pile of sugar dissolving in the rain. And ants are eating it and fucking in it and shitting in it and stuff.
I love that.
But it
ants
seems
don't even reproduce that way. They're just fucking in it.
No, they're for pleasure. It's just Ant Gamora.
Yeah.
It's just hedonism in there. It seems that a lot of the staff turnover that we've been seeing and a lot of the tension that we've been seeing came about as a result of this kind of, there's two major factions in the Trump administration that were kind of fighting for power with each other. And mm-hmm. one of those factions was like the insiders in terms of like the Republican Party insiders. So the people who came from the Republican Party who were like, have been with the Republican Party for a very long time. And then there were like the outsiders who were like
right.
the people who basically
who Trump brought in.
Exactly. And Trump, this whole message was about drain the swamp. The, you know, people who do politics for their lives are bad and I know better than them. Right. So these people were always in tension with each other. Now, Sean Spicer was a Republican Party guy. And he was also a close ally of Reince Priebus, who was the chief of staff, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
Right.
But basically, Reince Priebus, as the chief of staff, it was his job to just kind of like do all of the management of the office of being the president, right? To just oversee everybody, make sure the machine's running, you know, determine access to the president, basically be like the person who handles running the White House so that the president can be like the decision maker, right? And Reince Priebus never really settled into this role at all because he was always like trying to appease Trump, but then trying to work with these people who hated him, basically, because he's a Republican, lifelong Republican guy too.
Right.
And so Sean Spicer being on the Reince Priebus team probably had resistance from all these other people too. So nobody was functioning like a big happy family here. That's
right,
my
right,
guess.
Right.
But also, I mean, like the first thing Sean Spicer had to do, and this is probably a directive from Donald Trump, was go out in front of the cameras and tell the media that they were bad for not saying enough nice things about how big the crowd was at the inauguration. That was the first job he had. Right. It's like, could you do a better job than Sean Spicer did?
I don't think I could, actually. Absolutely not.
You know, maybe I could.
Maybe you could. You got the gift of the gap.
You could have like found the angle.
I would have turned right away.
Yeah, you would have
like, I don't know, guys. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would read my briefing out and say, I'm supposed to say this.
Yeah.
If you got any questions that don't pertain to this, I am not equipped to answer them.
Yeah. You would have Scaramucci'd it.
Yeah. 100%. Just
which
like
we'll also get to in a minute.
Ripcord. Like I don't know why I'm here. I'm here because I thought it looked good on my resume. You know, go work in the private sector later.
Yeah. And so for a little while, also, Sean Spicer was the press secretary and the communications director. Now, the communications director is like kind of like the head speech writer. He's like, he works with the president on writing his speeches, writing his actual things he says, and on like what they talk about and how they talk about it and what languaging they use and what the messaging of the administration is. And this is usually done by two people, but the communications director left after a little while and Sean Spicer had to do both of those jobs himself. I just want to take a little tour of some like real nice Sean Spicer moments, or like some highlights or lowlights. So let's never forget, I mean, this was such a big deal when it happened, and I remember using so much spiritual energy on like thinking about these things, and they seem like a million years in the past now. My bulldog is breathing loudly, everybody. I'm sorry. It happens. Life. It's life. Life comes at you fast. So Sean Spicer, after Bashar al-Assad in Syria did a chemical weapons strike, famously said, like, even Hitler didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. Like, apparently forgetting that the gas chambers in the Holocaust
were a massive chemical weapons.
And then he also had a line where he was like they did at the Holocaust centers. When I think he meant concentration camps, he referred to the concentration camps as Holocaust centers, which is like, come on, that's funny. That's funny.
Well, I guess without spice in our lives,
yeah,
the news is about to get a little bit more bland.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. And let us never forget, ever, that when FBI Director James Comey was fired, apparently for being too close to the Russia investigation and too close to Trump himself or his allies, including Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, that Sean Spicer was confronted on the White House lawn by press who had just heard that James Comey was fired, and Sean Spicer didn't have orders yet, so he literally hid in a bush until he found out what to do, or rather among bushes, as they said, and then finally answered very, very, very few questions, limited questions, in the bushes to some press, where he claimed that it was not because James Comey was close to the Russia investigation, but then a couple hours later, Donald Trump tweeted that it was because it was close to the Russian investigation. Anyway.
You just can't write that.
Oh. So, as I said, Sean Spicer was the press secretary and the communications director. That was like temporary. They needed to hire another communications director. And Donald Trump really wanted to hire this guy, Anthony Scaramucci. Oh,
yes.
And
Stephen Colbert's favorite prisoner.
He's a ridiculous.
Yeah.
And apparently Trump had been trying to get Scaramucci a job in the White House for like 6 months. This is 6 months in now, in June or July. People kept trying to block Scaramucci getting a job because nobody wanted him to work in the White House except Donald Trump. But finally, Donald Trump like insisted that he be made communications director. Sean Spicer really didn't want to work with him. And so finally, Donald Trump made Scaramucci the communications director, and Sean Spicer was so upset about this and so disagreed with it that he resigned. That was like the last straw for him. He threw in the towel. Also, I mean, I have to say this detail. It's so funny. So Sean Spicer, this dude who's been out in front of the press, just getting fucking brutalized every day. Everyone's making fun of him. Everyone thinks he's ridiculous. He has to say the most insane lies and like act like the biggest asshole on earth just to do the basic requirements of his job.
Right.
So Sean Spicer is super Catholic. And apparently he really, really hoped and thought that when Donald Trump met the Pope, he would bring Sean Spicer so that he could meet the Pope, which is like a lifelong bucket list thing. And Donald Trump didn't bring him. He did not bring him to meet the Pope. But apparently he was super choked up by that. And I just think that's so funny.
That's a bit like... though.
Yeah, but know? It's like the rich kid did not invite him.
The cradle and the silver spoon, a little boy blue and the man in the moon.
Yeah, poor Sean.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Man, history is not going to remember that guy favorably.
No, it's not. No. It's definitely not.
Like, what can he do now? Like, you know, if you were in that pickle and you had just embarrassed yourself and, like, done a great big public worldwide face plant.
Yeah.
You know,
for 6 months straight.
For 6 months straight. And everybody was just like constantly posting it to Instagram.
Yeah. You're like the world's court jester.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, what would you do after that?
Apparently.
Go
almost
to the woods
all
and start
people,
chopping wood.
Yeah, well, I think all these people will find a home on like Fox News' talking heads or some shit. Like, I'm not worried about any of them.
Right.
There's people who will. Who, these people will be fine. They're all white and they're all rich. they're going to be okay. But that was Sean Spicer.
Right.
So next up.
Scaramucci.
Well, before Scaramucci, actually, it's Rance Priebus.
Ah.
As
that,
I said.
I've noticed you've been saying his name differently every time you've spoken
I have
it.
No idea how to say it. Rance. Mm-hmm. Is that a magic spell? I'm not sure. I have no clue how to say it. Every time I look it up, I feel like it's different. I'm just going to say whatever comes out. It's going to be like jazz.
How many I's and how many E's are in
it's
here?
It's R-E-I-N-C-E.
P-R-I-E-B-U-S?
P-R-E-I-B-U-S.
Fuck you, Priebus.
I before E, except after pre. Okay.
Go on.
So he was the chief of staff, like I said. Again, he's like this Republican National Convention guy, party guy. Right. And he was always, I think he was appointed, Donald Trump was convinced to take him on as the chief of staff, even though Rince Priebus had been kind of against Trump at the beginning of Trump's run. And he even asked him to step down from the nomination after the grab him by the pussy tape came out, which is also something that like happened less than a year ago. Can you believe it?
No.
That happened less than a year ago.
By God.
I know. So Donald Trump.
Someone's got to make a movie. Like, there's got to be someone who's compiling every fucking outrageous event so that after 4 years they can go, look, I made us a 19-hour movie about all the shit that is crazy right
now. Yeah, yeah. Ugh. It would be unwatchable and amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he's like a party guy, and he'd already demonstrated, like, not extreme loyalty to Donald Trump, right? Even before the election. And so he was always in conflict with Trump and with his like loyalists, like I kind of said. And people have described him as being like a battered spouse because he was so ineffective and nervous and always just trying to appease Trump and never really like managing the White House the way that he was supposed to. That's his job, right?
Right.
He was never able to do his job. He was never effective at it. And so the real... The real like nail in the coffin for him came when Scaramucci was hired. Kind of some info was leaked to the press about how people didn't like Scaramucci or whatever, and Scaramucci became convinced that Rince Priebus was the leaker, and did this interview with the New Yorker where he's called Rince Priebus a fucking paranoid schizophrenic and then was tweeting him about how leakers were horrible and like called Rince Priebus by name in all of his tweets and shit. So he was just getting railed on.
By the new communications
director. Yeah, and he wasn't doing his job very well.
Right.
This was also right after the failure of the American Healthcare Act, which was like a Rince Priebus, Paul Ryan thing. Paul Ryan and Rince Priebus like came up together through the Republican Party.
Right.
And so that was a humiliating failure for Donald Trump, and I think he was not happy with Priebus and the Republican National Convention kind of people, National
right.
Committee kind of people. And so they canned him, and they canned him like literally they all were on a trip, international trip together or something, and they landed on the tarmac in Washington, D.C., and Rince got in one car and drove off. And then from the plane, Donald Trump tweeted that he had been fired. And then Donald Trump came out and like talked to the press about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
Imagine that little social dynamic of like, because it seems to me that this whole presidency has been like a lot of negotiation, as you like, between the outsiders and the insiders, you know, of like, you know, I can just imagine a conversation. That's a bad way to start. I can imagine a conversation which like a Republican is like, just do what, like, for the love of God, help us out and we'll help you out and we'll get this healthcare thing through. And then they don't.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you're Donald Trump and you're like, I don't even the Republican fucking party. Like,
yep.
I'm all by myself out here.
Yep.
Just a big dumb idiot.
Yeah. Well, and they,
and then the political party that got him there is completely ineffectual.
That's right. And all of them have like basically kept closed ranks. Like all of them have in public been like, no, you know, I believe in Donald Trump. Some of them have said, like, I'll be able to do more outside of the administration than inside, or, like, it's time for me to change, it needs fresh, blah, blah, blah. They all have kind of kept the party line. But Rince Priebus, like, with a Republican majority in the Congress and Senate, which is what he's been working for his the last 5 years of his career, could not pass this bill. It was, like, what an embarrassment for him. And he also handed the keys in the future of the party over to, like, this dude he hates who's a fucking idiot. So, I mean, he can't, I don't think he can really chalk this one up as a win yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like it's so funny because, like, I've worked in the theater sometimes with, like, charismatic, weird manipulators who have, like, a weird toxic effect on the people around them.
Sure.
And I just can't help but feel a certain amount, even though these people are all terrible people and the policies that they're trying to enact are horrible and will, like, seriously hurt people, and I will disagree with them to the death about that. Like, I know what it's like to be in, like, a toxic situation where your boss is fucking with your head, and that's got to be, you know, it's hard. I get why people are quitting and getting fired and stuff. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, next up, Scaramucci himself.
Yeah.
So Scaramucci is just this, like,
10-day wonder.
Yeah, he lasted 11 days.
11 days
as the communications director for the White House. So many people did not want him to be the communications director, but he had been a Trump surrogate and fundraiser during the election and had appeared on TV, you know, shooting his mouth off, being real, like, ballsy on CNN and stuff, and Trump had liked that and thought he should be the communications director. Several people apparently have said it's not clear that Trump understood that he had other things he had to do besides just go on TV and be sassy.
Right.
So he was just like, that guy is funny on TV. I liked him when I saw him. Let's make him the communications director.
Right, let's put him in charge.
Well, he's in charge of creating the tone of your entire administration's communications. It's like, this is the guy who, like, literally was, like I said, called this chief of staff of fucking paranoid schizophrenic. and then also said, famously, now, I'm not like Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own cock.
Suck my own cock.
Yeah, and so
that was day two.
Yeah, he literally lasted. He lasted 11 days. Oh, and the big leak about him was that he had been having dinner with people from Fox,
right?
Like Sean Hannity and people like that. He lasted 11 days. He was woefully incompetent for his job, but he had been so confident that he was going to get a job in the Trump administration that he started selling his company after Trump was elected, but then didn't get a job for like 6 months. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. These guys.
Holy God. What was his company? He's like a stock guy.
Yeah, he's got a hedge fund.
Right. So I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means either.
That's where rich people put money and then more money comes out of it, right?
Yeah, I think it's like where rich people, they combine their money so they could buy real nice hedges.
For Spicer to hide behind.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so... Rest in power, Scaramucci. Next up, we're at the second last major casualty here. Mr. Steve Bannon himself.
Oh.
The bloated lich.
Yeah. You know who the White House has been like losing folk, but you know who's really getting the hit here? Who? Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do now that all their good characters have been fired?
Yeah, I guess, you know. What's his nut? It's just gonna have to pull up his socks a little bit more.
Yeah.
No, fuck. Don't Baldwin.
Yeah, yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
Um, Yeah, so Steve Bannon was Donald Trump's chief strategist. He's basically the one responsible for all the really, really, really horrible shit in Donald Trump's platform. Right. All the stuff about Mexicans, the racist stuff.
Yeah, he looks like Steve a condom Bannon. Full of tuna salad.
Yeah, and like and like not a new condom full of tuna salad.
No, like, once again, like physically as well as spiritually yeah, and figuratively. Yeah,
yeah. So he was a former editor of Breitbart News, who we've mentioned before on the show as being like America's rebel media, basically like a conservative white nationalist, essentially, news outlet, which is the kind of place that your uncle who doesn't get invited to Thanksgiving gets all of his news from. And, you know, they have a lot of, like, their stories are almost all about either, like, fear about Muslims, anti-Semitism, or, like, you know, outrage over how social justice warriors won't let you say retard anymore or whatever. Right. Like, that's kind of where they're at now. There was kind of a concerted effort among Trump detractors to make Bannon seem like the more powerful one because it would drive Trump crazy. It appears to have worked. That, like, and apparently Bannon was also kind of like getting pretty big for his britches. He was like bragging about how he could hire and fire people at the U.S. State Department and stuff like that. And Donald Trump did not like that and was mad about that. And he was fired like a couple weeks ago.
Right. Always mind your britches, man.
Yeah, I know.
Always mind your britches.
It just, yeah, and he put a bunch of stuff in place before he left. Like, he's going to try to rebalance U.S. trade with China. So, like, right now the U.S. imports a lot more stuff. It buys a lot more from China than it sells. And he, like, wants to not have that happen anymore. This is, like, one of those weird things that white nationalists glom onto.
Right.
So we'll see where all of those things go. We should all be, you know, freaked out by them.
Is that trade war?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's totally good. Yeah, and he, like, here's a weird fact about Steve Bannon was apparently he helped finance Seinfeld when Seinfeld was, like, trying to, like, get funding before it was a show.
Wow.
Because he worked in, like, media funding for a while.
I wish you hadn't told me that. That's a big win for Bannon.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
The man
now
has,
I feel
like
he's okay.
Yeah, yeah. His whole, like, yeah, he runs Breitbart News and then creates Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's a net zero.
TV show about four sociopathic Jewish New Yorkers.
Yeah, 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 it's true. It's true. Anyway, he's gone back to Breitbart, apparently. And so Breitbart, which had been sort of losing its teeth and losing steam, we might see it regaining those things with Bannon back at the helm.
Right, right.
Good riddance. We haven't seen the last of
good him. Good riddance.
For sure.
Good riddance.
Good riddance. Okay, last but not least is someone we haven't talked about on our show, but who is like a Chapo Trap House favorite punching bag and character. It's this guy named Sebastian Gorka, who's like this like Hungarian national security expert. I'm doing air quotes here. He was a Breitbart commentator and he came with Bannon also. And he was just fired a couple days ago. And like, he's this like hilarious clown. He's almost like the Forrest Gump of like shitty white dudes who hate Muslims, in that like, he seems to have succeeded at almost nothing in his entire life and lied about all of his major achievements and credentials, and yet
he
keeps getting promoted.
Standing right? next to the
he
president
keeps getting
of the
promoted.
United States, right.
Like, he had all of these, desires in Hungary to become like a big politician, but then his political ambitions were struck this enormous blow when it was like when he failed to get a high level security clearance like early in his political career, because he had been bragging to everyone that when he studied in England he had been working for MI6. And that turned out to be a total lie.
Right.
But like, they were like, well, if you worked for British intelligence, you're not going to get a Hungarian security clearance. And he like ended his Hungarian political career immediately, came to the United States, like fell in, kind of became one of these like anti-Muslim dudes. You know, like he's a counter-terrorism expert, but he's like a self-branded Islamic right. terrorism expert. And actually the Pentagon was paying him to give counterterrorism lectures and fired him before he was a White House guy for just being so anti-Islamic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the key to counterterrorism is you shoot them until they're dead.
Yeah.
Also, in the defense of Forrest Gump, he won the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Forrest Gump was bravery. a lot better at what he did than this guy was.
But I understand the sentiment of someone who did nothing and wound up everywhere doing everything.
It's another thing. It's another case of he's a guy who was a pretty good TV loudmouth.
Right.
But that's like it. And because of that, Donald Trump made him an advisor. Although apparently he did nothing. Like, he didn't do anything. Right. Basically, his entire time in the White House, and so he was let go. God bless Sebastian Gorka. Yeah. We'll see.
Seen the last of him.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the major list of casualties. I feel like we need to talk about John Kelly.
Right. So, well, also, who's replacing all these people?
Yeah, so Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the press secretary now.
Any relation to... Wait, Huckleberry?
Huckabee. Like Mike Huckabee.
Any relation to Mike Huckabee?
She's his daughter.
She's his daughter?
Yeah. She's Mike Huckabee's daughter.
Wow.
Is the current press secretary. And the current communications director is a woman named Hope Hicks.
Okay.
Both of them have more or less avoided major scandal so far, flown kind of under the radar.
Right.
A big part of this is because the new chief of staff, John Kelly, is... he's a former four-star general who oversaw combat operations in Iraq, and is generally seen as being like a really good manager, although he's like a political newcomer. His organizational experience all comes from the military.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about how he was going to finally, like, he's going to run a tight ship. He's going to close the door. You know, he's going to shut the door. And certainly he's way less things seem to have been a lot less outwardly comic and ridiculous since he took over as the chief of staff.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's still tension between them. Like, famously, as Donald Trump gave his insane post-Charlottesville press conference where he talked about how the Nazis and the Antifa were just as bad as each other, like, the pictures of John Kelly, he's just like, you could see him wishing for death, like as he listens to this.
Right.
And apparently Donald Trump reamed him out in public in front of a bunch of other White House staff and aides recently. For screening his calls, because John Kelly's been screening all of his calls now. So people who used to be able to just call him up and talk to him can no longer do that, and sometimes are denied meetings with him. And when Trump found out about some of this, he apparently reamed him out. And John Kelly said he's never been talked to like that in 35 years of serving America, and will not be talked to like that again, apparently is what he said.
Whoa.
Apparently they've also...
What a fucked up job to get.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, remember the movie The Replacements?
Yeah.
Like, you show up to coach The Replacements.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The people that weren't, like, you know, you had the pros, they were out there, and the whole team got squashed like that.
Yeah.
And now the second tier are hopping on the field.
Yeah. So apparently he's become pretty disgruntled also, and we'll see how long he lasts.
Wow.
It wouldn't surprise me if Trump's handling of the North Korea stuff flares up a lot of tension between all of them. But yeah, that's kind of like where we're at today.
Wow.
This is the zany cast of characters who've taken us this far. You know, we'll...
And is the White House, they're on vacation right now or something like that?
Are they?
I don't know. I thought Trump was on like a 19-day vacation.
I think he's been on vacation more than he's been working.
Yeah, and I think...
Every weekend.
Everyone prefers it more that way.
Yeah.
I just feel like news has been slow. I feel like it's been a lot of like Twitter lip waving about North Korea and not a ton of like...
Yeah, today it's the North Korea nuclear test is kind of the main thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure we'll hear from old Donnie before too long.
Oh, yeah. That's the trouble, is you never want to go too long without hearing the mad wails of that crazy, crazy guy.
That's right. It's like a cow. If you can hear the bell, at least you know where he is. Because if you can't hear the bell...
The wolves have come.
That's when he's sleeping with your wife. Your best friend. The cow you trust the most in the world, and the woman that you thought you were going to grow old with, caught in a carnal embrace, a veritable feast of Dionysus, udders flapping, limbs flailing, man, bovine woman, entwined together.
Cling, 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 cling.
Oh, there he is. Okay, that was fine. I went somewhere for a minute. Okay, well, that's our episode for this week, everybody. If you if you have any comments, questions, ideas for future topics, responses,
please... Get us on the internet.
Let us know. Hit us up on the internet. We want to know. You can find us... Explain to Jamie. Just Google that. We have a SoundCloud. We have an email. explaintojamie@gmail.com.
Facebook.
Twitter.
Twitter.
We're on all of it.
Yeah.
We check our shit.
Let us know. Just open your window. Yell it out your window.
That's right.
Yell it now.
Do it.
Hi.
Nice.
Nice. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. Hello to you too. The square root of 2 is 4. Fuck. No. I did not do a lot of math in high school.
That's okay.
Lot.
That's all I did.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I did some.
Okay. Well, until next week, I've been Richard.
I've been Jamie.
And this snorting is Dolores.
Bye.